It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner.
And I'm Brittany Hughes. Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday.
That's Wednesday.
Hump day.
It is Wednesday, and thanks for joining us. And you can check out all of our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify if you get a chance. And it is such nice weather we have here in Virginia today, unlike other parts of the United States.
No, it's really been bad in other parts. There were tornadoes.
Lots of tornadoes. A lot of tornadoes.
Were they casual?
Really bad.
Were they casual tornadoes, though?
Were they casual tornadoes?
I don't know.
Those only happen in our region, I guess, in the greater D.C. area, according to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
But seriously, what is the difference, though? What is the difference between a casual tornado and a serious tornado? Like, I feel like we need to know.
Idea.
This is important. We actually need to know, because if it's just a casual tornado, is that where, like, you can still sit in your living room and watch your TV, and then, like, if it becomes a serious tornado, then you've got to, like, run down to your, like, basement safe? Like, I've never heard of a casual tornado, and I feel like this is important.
When you get used to tornadoes, they become casual.
Gotcha.
I guess.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, I'm really glad that the woman whose resume consists of how to mix margaritas is here to tell us about these casual tornadoes. Because, by the way, if you're not getting this reference, this is what AOC was calling the weather in D.C. the other day.
Tornado watch in D.C. Oh, no, there's people stuck outside. We need to get them out. This is crazy.
She's moved down from New York City, and apparently, like, everything in the D.C. area is new to her. So she's like, oh, well, you know, apparently we just have casual tornadoes in D.C. Everybody's so used to climate change that we just accept casual tornadoes. And nobody quite understood what a casual tornado was. So we should ask the people in the Midwest if they're dealing with casual tornadoes or serious ones.
I don't think the Midwest is dealing with casual ones. Definitely serious. But that does bring us to our topic today. Some of our favorite AOC moments. We're going to pick a few. There are so many. The volume. If you do a Google search on the dumbest things AOC has said, this, that, you know, five AOC moments, things of that nature, you'll find tons of stuff. So this is in no particular order, but these are just some of our favorites so far.
She is worth being on Twitter. And I say that I've always told people, if you're on Twitter, follow us. If you're not, don't bother. Don't get on Twitter. It's a terrible, terrible website. It brings out the worst in humanity. But now that AOC has been elected, I actually feel like she makes Twitter worth being on, if for no other reason than to follow the stupid stuff that she says, and it's all the time.
And let's go to a Twitter one. We have her tweet from back in April, where she was upset because there was a photo on Twitter of a cardboard cutout of herself and a old white male lawmaker was standing next to it. And it was quite upsetting. And she tweets out, "Nobody, GOP, let's pose our older male members next to cardboard cutouts of young female legislators. Oh, the sexism. Oh, it's disgusting. It's rotting. It's horrible, except it wasn't a Republican."
No, it wasn't. She sees sexism in absolutely everything. I swear, she's like Peter Pan with her shadow. Everything is sexist. Everything is racist. You know, everybody should be offended over absolutely everything. So that's what she... And look, the really funny, and this is why I say she's worth following on Twitter, because it's hilarious. So she retweeted this photo. It was from the Republican Party of Kentucky. They were the ones who tweeted it out. And in their caption, they identified the white guy standing next to her cardboard cutout as Kentucky Democrat John Yarmuth. Now, this is not a state official. This isn't like some like local city council person that she would have no idea who he was and would have no reason to. This is a congressman, a Democratic congressman from Kentucky.
She works with him.
She works with him. She literally passes this dude in the halls and votes with him. And, you know, so the fact that she doesn't even know who he is, and that she attributes him to being a Republican because she's trying to make some vapid point about how he's a white dude, so this must be a sexist photo. And it turns out he's not even a Republican. He is a Democrat. So she just
it's not sexist anymore. And she deletes her tweet because it never happened.
Yes. But the queen of the internet needs to realize that the internet is forever. We do have the screenshot over at MRC TV. It's the internet is forever.
Another great thing she likes to, you know, she's not deleting the tweets to deny what she's done. She has this tendency in the past to talk about the 12 years we have left because of climate change. And she has said this multiple times, even on MSNBC and very liberal networks. Let's take a quick listen.
But climate change is different because we have an expiration date. And the IPCC report says we've got 12 years to turn it around.
Yeah.
12 years. Millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it?
And she is serious every time. But guess what? She's not serious.
But she's not. Or at least she wants us to think that she's not. She's blaming anybody who took her literally for being a moron, for taking her literally.
This is what she tweets out. This is a technique of the GOP to take dry humor and sarcasm literally and fact check it, like the whole world ending in 12 years thing. You'd have to have the social intelligence of a sea sponge to think it's literal.
I don't. She's making policies, or trying to, rather. She's not getting past Nancy Pelosi with a whole lot, to be honest with you. But she's making policies based on this. She's actually putting forward policy proposals based on the idea that the entire world is going to be dead in 12 years if we don't act right now. But then she turns around and she says that we're the idiots for taking her seriously. God forbid we actually take a lawmaker seriously when they say something.
She may be right. Maybe we shouldn't take her seriously.
Now, she also may be right that if people keep electing folks like her, maybe we are all going to die in 12 years. I don't know. Maybe the casual tornadoes will get us all. I have no idea. Maybe she was joking about the casual tornadoes. See, now I don't know. Now I have no idea what she's joking about and what she's not.
Yeah, well, that's her thing. Once she gets hammered on something, she deletes it or she changes her, I was only joking. Didn't sound like she is either the best actress I've ever seen. I mean, if she was joking, wow. I mean, talk about Andy Kaufman levels of humor.
Man, I'm going to see if I can get away with that. Like when I call in for a sick day at MRC or something and I say I have the flu. Oh, I didn't actually have the flu. I was just joking. You're an idiot if you took me literally. I didn't actually have the flu. I want to see how many areas in life that works where you just, you know, you really put your foot in it and you just go, oh, I was just joking. You're an idiot if you think I wasn't.
Another one of our favorite moments is the moment that she was completely mesmerized by a garbage disposal. Time stood still as I watched this video when it first came out.
This was a special moment. Instagram, wasn't it? Because she's got all these social media sites, right? So this, I think, was Instagram, and she was just baffled. And again, I don't know if I'm supposed to take her literally or not. I don't know if this really was her first encounter with a garbage disposal, but she certainly wanted us to think that it was. So she posts this video on Instagram of her asking, like, what is this device? Is this
it's
a garbage
terrifying.
Disposal? It's terrible. Why is it screaming at me?
I am told this is a garbage disposal. I've never seen a garbage disposal. I never had one in any place I've ever lived. It is terrifying. I don't know what to use it for or what its purpose is. Like food scraps? Like, is this environmentally sound? I don't know.
Because apparently they don't
have
garbage disposals in New York.
Is it environmentally sound?
And I don't know if this was supposed to be one of her, like, I don't, you know, because she, you know how the girl from Westchester likes to play up that she's from the Bronx, right? Like, that's kind of her, like, claim to fame. That she,
right.
She's this poor girl, and she's from the projects, and she had such a hard knock life, and she really didn't. She grew up in Westchester. Her dad actually did very well for himself. So, really, that whole story is a complete and total sham. And that truth has been out there for a long time. So I don't, I get the feeling that this whole I've never seen a garbage disposal thing is like a play to the masses who maybe can't afford to have a garbage disposal. I don't know. That's the impression I get, though.
She gets an apartment in D.C. and she has to look out her window and see casual tornadoes, and then she has to deal with a garbage disposal. It's a huge change.
Girl's got
it's huge.
Girl's got it rough. Garbage disposals and casual tornadoes. She just must be terrified out of her mind.
Oh, another thing is the magic wand of money. I guess that's somewhere out there. This one actually goes back to 2018 when she was first running, I believe, and was first elected. This, oh boy. You know, she puts forth her proposals, her free things, free healthcare, free education, Medicare for all these wonderful free things, comes up with a tab of about $40 trillion. She has a tax plan that will raise $2 trillion, and she's on CNN, and good old Jake Tapper asked the simple question, where's the other $38 trillion going to come from? And let's take a listen.
Your platform has called for various new programs, including Medicare for all, housing as a federal right, a federal jobs guarantee, tuition-free public college, canceling all student loan debt. According to nonpartisan and left-leaning studies friendly to your cause, including the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities or the Tax Policy Center, the overall price tag is more than $40 trillion in the next decade. You recently said in an interview that increasing taxes on the very wealthy plus an increased corporate tax rate would make $2 trillion over the next 10 years. So where's the other $38 trillion going to come from?
Well, one of the things that we need to realize when we look at something like Medicare for all would save the American people a very large amount of money. And what we see as well is that these systems are not just a pie in the sky. They are, many of them are accomplished by every modern civilized democracy in the Western world. They're not short-term band-aids, but they are really profound decisions about who we want to be as a nation and how we want to act as the wealthiest nation in the history of the world.
Right. Now, I get that. But the price tag for everything that you've laid out in your campaign is $40 trillion over the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. I understand that Medicare for all would cost more to some wealthier people and to the government and to taxpayers while also reducing individual health care expenditures. But I'm talking about the overall package. You say it's not pie in the sky, but $40 trillion is quite a bit of money. And the taxes that you talked about raising to pay for this, to pay for your agenda, only count for two. And we're going by left-leaning analysts.
Right. Well, when you look again at how our health care works, currently we pay much of these costs go into the private sector.
I'm assuming I'm not going to get an answer for the other $38 trillion, but we'll have you back and maybe we can go over that.
That's painful.
And he gives up at the end.
He does.
He just, well, all right, well, she's not answering my question. That's okay. Wow, how many GOP lawmakers get, well, I know you didn't answer my question, but that's okay. We'll move on.
Well, if you notice, too, back when she was asked to defend, a lot of her free crap proposals, Anderson Cooper over on CNN did the same exact thing. He asked her several times, well, where are you going to get the money? And she has this line that she likes to repeat, by the way, where she sort of pushes that over on Republicans. And she's like, well, you know, whenever they have proposals, they never get asked how they're going to get the money. And so she never actually answers the question of how she's going to get the money. She's
right.
Got these talking
points. And the GOP
points.
Tax cut, but that's not going to pay $38 trillion.
Exactly. So she has these lines that she goes back to. And Anderson Cooper gave up too, just like Jake Tapper did, you know, because she clearly, I think what it exposes is she clearly does not have a plan. There's, and this is one thing, and I'm gonna choke on these words, I know I am, but this is one thing where I will at least give Nancy Pelosi a little bit of credit, because she has.
Ooh, you're
know,
not going to go
I know,
there, are you?
I am, oh, and I'm so sorry. I'm
it's
so
like a
sorry.
Dark alley.
Hurts.
You don't want to go down that road
it's
alone.
Just falling down the rabbit hole here, but then, like, literally, this is how crazy the left has pushed with all these progressives. That when Nancy Pelosi every now and then says something that actually makes sense, you know that they have lost their minds and gone straight into the loony bin. When she comes out and even she says, well, when we talk about Medicare for all, who's going to pay for that? That's like $35 trillion. Who's going to pay for that?
Does she say that or slur it? I'm not sure.
Well, she did it, but she did the crooked hand motion where she sort of looks like a witch. Looks like a Well, or a disabled velociraptor, kind of, where she just sort of claws at the air.
I'm not sure. Let me look up the disabled velociraptor website. I don't know if I have that mental image, but...
But that's, I mean, you know, again, at least she's willing to recognize that when you talk about these crazy things, you actually have to have some sort of a proposal for how you're going to pay for it. And Ocasio-Cortez never does. I mean, with the Green New Deal, how are you going to pay for all that? How are you going to rebuild every building in America? How are you going to, you know, completely upend the beef industry? How are you going to do this? She has no clue.
I also loved early on, after she was elected, when she was first interviewed and she was asked about, you know, the economy doing well and the job numbers, you know, the low unemployment numbers. And that was because everybody has two jobs.
The numbers that you just talked about is part of the problem, right? Because we look at these figures and we say, oh, unemployment is low. Everything is fine, right? Well, unemployment is low because everyone has two jobs.
Well, she also thought there were like 520 million people in the country at one point. She said something about how 40% of the country makes under $20,000 a year or something.
One of the biggest problems that we have is 200 million Americans make less than $20,000 a year. That's 40% of this country. And how can we have an economy that grows? How can we build wealth as an economy if a large plurality of Americans are too poor to participate in it?
And if you actually did the math on that, it would mean that like there were over 500 million people in the country. And she said that on the Daily Show with Trevor Noah, which I understand is not like hard-hitting news. I get that. But he just like completely didn't question it at all. He just let it go. And that's the part I think that bugs me the most about her and about those like her. When they say these things, Kamala Harris is another wonderful example of somebody who's just throwing out proposals right and left, and nobody ever holds her to it. Nobody actually questions, how are you going to get this done? You know, what like common core math are you working off of here that doesn't make any sense to anybody else? Like, where are you getting these numbers? Nobody ever asks that. But God knows they'll slam Trump for saying, you know, talking about crowd sizes. I mean, because, you know, that's really what's important. Which, I mean, again, he has exaggerated crowd sizes before. But I feel like exaggerating crowd sizes and, you know, saying that you want free stuff for everybody without being able to say how you're going to pay for it. The problem with AOC's plan is eventually she's going to run out of billionaires to tax. That's the issue here. And she's got no plan. Anyway.
Well, you know what? The billionaires, once they're taxed and they have the money, they can look at some green farming, you know, in the city. And you can find out that white communities don't know how to cook plantains.
Yes. Cauliflower is racist. It's racist. It's as racist as a Republican / Democrat posing next to a cardboard cutout of somebody.
When you really think about it, when someone says that it's too hard to do a green space that grows yucca instead of, I don't know, cauliflower or something, what you're doing is that you're taking a colonial approach to environmentalism. And that is why a lot of communities of color get resistant to certain environmentalist movements, because they come with a colonial lens on them. If I went to a predominantly white community and said, okay, you guys are gonna be growing plantains and yucca and all these things that you don't know how to cook, and that your palate isn't accustomed to, it's gonna be like cute for a little bit, but it's not easy. You need to make it as easy as possible.
But yeah, cauliflower is racist and you're a racist if you eat it. Everything's racist. Everything. It's all racist.
And of course, what would AOC be known the most for, except, and we've talked about it endlessly on this program, the Green New Deal eliminates cow flatulence and airplanes. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't. That's
you're
thing
not
that
supposed
really,
to take it seriously.
No, it's not that. It's just, you know, they roll out the plan, the FAQ on her website. And then people instantly pounce on it because it leaps out at you as, what? That's insane. You can't get rid of airplanes and cows. That's not a sane thing to do. So then when she
Maisie Hirono makes sense, when Maisie Hirono starts to make sense and says, sorry, but that wouldn't work out very well for Hawaii, you know they've gone off the deep end. When Nancy Pelosi and Maisie Hirono start pointing out flaws in the logic here, you know something is seriously, seriously wrong.
The fact that they take it down, they put a version back up, it's not in there, and then it's like, well, that was just what we were thinking of. That was the work in progress. That was the draft. It's clearly what was running through your mind when you were putting together this proposal.
Well, and I want to know who the poor staffer was that she totally threw under the bus, because she, you remember, she blamed it on a staffer. There was
right.
the FAQ and it came
day.
Out. Yeah, he had a bad day. There was a staffer that had a bad day and he put the wrong FAQ up.
Do you think you guys rolled it out the right way? Did you
bring
it out any on yourself?
What I will say is that I definitely had a staffer that had a very bad day at work and did release a working draft.
And I don't even care if it, first of all, I don't buy that it was the wrong FAQ. I think that you put up exactly what you meant to, and people called you out for, you know, being an idiot, and you had to cover for it. The same as she does all the time on Twitter, right? Like you mentioned, she takes things down whenever she gets called on her crap. She has to delete it or say she was joking or say you're the idiot for taking her seriously, or again, throw a staffer under the bus. Well, he put up the wrong version. But when any version of your policy proposal starts talking about keeping the cows from farting, clearly that's where your brain was when you came up with the proposal. Well, you know, the cow farts part wasn't supposed to be in there. Okay, well, let's go ahead and give her the benefit of the doubt, which I don't believe for a second, but let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Let's pretend that the cow farts part wasn't supposed to be in there. You're still left with the part where she wants to get rid of cars, rebuild every building in America.
Yeah, there's still plenty of wacky.
And give everybody free everything. Free healthcare, free food, free housing, free. So, like, even if you give her a little bit of grace on the cow farts, none of the rest of it makes any more sense than the cow farts did. It's so bad.
One last note before we wrap up here. Going all the way back to our first one with her world ending in 12 years thing being a joke. You know, you'd have to have the social intelligence of a sea sponge to think it's literal. What do we make of certain candidates like Cory Booker now saying it's 10 years?
The bold green future. And finally, let me just say that with climate change, we have 10 years to deal with it.
I think you make of it the same exact thing you make of the predictions that were made back in the 70s that ended up not being true. If you remember, they were saying the same exact thing back in the 70s, that humanity only had about 10 years left. They've made equal predictions about, at first we were going to die of an ice age. Now we're going to die because everything's going to overheat. If you go back and you listen to Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth, the inconvenient truth about his predictions is that none of them came true. So there's that. I'm kind of pissed at Cory Booker, to be honest, because he says now 10 years. At least AOC was giving us 12. I want to know how did we suddenly get gypped 2 years?
If you believe 12 years, you have the intellect of a sea sponge. What are you compared to if you believe 10 years? That's what I'm wondering. What would she compare poor Cory Booker to? Well, he's on her team. I guess, you know, what he says would just be taken down and forgotten.
If you want to talk about having the intelligence of a sea sponge, if you can't see how this is all a power play, they have no accurate predictions. None of their predictions in the past have panned out. None of their data adds up. When you actually dig into the whole 97% of scientists agree claim, you find out that is complete and total crap. When they have to start putting out Bill Nye, the not a science guy, as their expert.
Oh, he drives me banana. I can't stand him.
I cannot
stand Bill Nye. I can't hold back my dislike for Bill Nye. It is strong.
I just want to say, for the record, I couldn't stand him back when I was a kid and he was on PBS. I didn't like his show back before not liking him was cool. Like, I couldn't stand him back then.
I'm a little older than you, so I didn't have to live through his show. I didn't see it. I was a little
terrible.
Too old to be watching Bill Nye.
He was terrible. I was way more into that show where there was the brothers, the Kratz creatures, and they had, like, the little pet lemur. Anyway, that was a way better show than Bill Nye the Science Guy. But now he's up and, you know, cussing everybody out about
how... I want to hear about the lemur now.
Well, the lemur was awesome.
I don't know what show you're talking about. I have no
idea.
He
had, like... He had this really cool, I'm going to have to find it. I'm going to have to find it before the next episode because he had this really cool name. Anyway, he was way better than Bill Nye, the not a science guy. But when you have to put that up as your scientific expert about how we're all going to roast over the next decade, you've got nothing.
You've got nothing, and we have got no more time. It's time to wrap things up here on the MRC TV podcast. Until then, I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. We'll see y'all back next week.